Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. Great to be back today again with all of our listeners. We're so thankful to have this opportunity to be with you, and we're thankful that you're there. We hear from so many of our listeners letting us know that you appreciate the straightforward and very basic Bible teachings that we try to get across here in the program, here on Search the Scriptures. We do just what the name of the program suggests. We search the Scriptures. We get into God's Word. We look at those verses in detail, those texts. We try to analyze them and explain them in a way that is easy to understand and makes sense for your daily life. We want to help you get to heaven. Now, many of you let us know that you listen just about every day, and that is so encouraging to us. Many others have let us know that you listen pretty regularly, but you can't listen every day because your schedule does not allow it. And others listen somewhat less frequently, but as you have the opportunity, moving from place to place or getting to where you can turn on a radio, you do listen, and you listen again on an ongoing basis, just not as frequently as some of the others. Then there are always new listeners, and we appreciate every one of you, whether you listen every day or whether you are the first listening for the very first time today. We're thankful for you. And if you are listening for the first time, we do pray and we hope that you will quickly become impressed with the fact that we do, as I've just said, we get into God's Word. We look at it in depth and in detail, but we try to explain it in a way that is easy for you to understand and that does make sense for your daily life. We want to help you build your faith in God. Many people believe that faith somehow just kind of happens to them. Maybe it kind of overwhelms them. It's bestowed upon them as a gift from God. But now wait a minute. If it's a gift from God, why would he not give that gift to everybody? Because obviously not everybody has faith. And faith is absolutely essential for our salvation, for our eternal life, for our being able to look forward to be with God in heaven. So if it's a gift from God, why would he withhold it from some people and give it to other people? If he wants all of us to be with him, and he does, because Peter said so. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, faith is not given to us whether we want it or not. It's not something that just kind of happens to us, kind of like catching the cold or the flu. It's not something that overwhelms us out of the blue, but faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And that's what the Scripture says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So if we want to help you develop your faith, the best thing we can do toward that end is to help you understand God's Word better. And as your knowledge in God's Word grows and your faith in God subsequently grows, then our prayer is that you're going to get to a point where you say, you know, I want to walk with God. I want what God has to offer me. I want forgiveness. I want redemption. I want salvation. I want eternal life. I want to be with him in heaven forever. Well, you come to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And he's talking about Jesus there as our Savior. So, you come to God through Jesus, accepting him openly, confessing your faith in him as your Savior, as you repent of your sins and surrender to him in baptism, at which point the blood that he shed on the cross cleanses you of the guilt of your sins, and you begin a new life in Christ, reborn spiritually, with a new hope, and that's eternal life, and a new direction, and that's heaven. A do-over, a second chance, the opportunity to, from a spiritual perspective, put all of the mistakes, all of the tragedies, all of the wrong decisions and choices that you've made in your life prior to that time behind you. Now, you may still have to bear some of the consequences, but you don't have to live in those choices, in those mistakes, in those bad choices any longer. Now, you can be in Christ. You can walk with Him. We want to help you get to heaven. At the end of the program today, we'll tell you how to contact us. Write down that information. So have a pencil or a pen and a piece of paper ready. Jot that down and then contact us and ask for the free Bible study that will teach you right from God's Word how you can get to heaven. The study is free, and we'll even take care of the postage. You can also receive a copy of today's program on CD, and again, for free, and we'll take care of the postage. So have that pencil or pen and piece of paper ready, and in just a little while, we'll tell you how to contact us. Write that down, and then contact us and ask for those free study materials. We're going to get back into our series here that we began last time, asking the question, what is your attitude? Attitude can be so beneficial to an individual, and it can be so damaging and self-destructive to a different individual, depending on what their attitude is. You know, some people can have such a negative attitude that they can't see up because they're always looking down. Kind of like the story I've told a number of times where the fella, he's just kind of walking along, looking over a cliff, and all of a sudden the ground gives way and he slips down over the edge of the cliff and he's clawing and he finally grabs a root of a tree that's growing out the side of that cliff. He stops his fall. And so he's hanging there and he's asking, yelling out for somebody, hoping somebody will hear, and asking, please help, 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 save me. And he calls out to God, God, please save me. And then he hears a voice. And he says, the voice says, Joe? And he says, oh, yes, so glad you're up there. Who is that? This is God. God, thank you so much for answering my call. And then God says, do you trust me, Joe? Oh, yes, I trust you. Please save me. Let go. And then there's silence. And then all of a sudden, Joe yells out again, is there anybody else up there? Well, on the surface, it sounded like he had faith in God to save him. But he had to trust in God to be saved. And he didn't have quite that much faith. Attitude. Somebody can look at something that is a good, positive picture, but he only sees the negative in it. But then you have other people who they look for the good and the positive even in what seems to be a negative scenario. And they continually find themselves looking up and reaching out and moving forward, whereas other people have such a terrible personal attitude that they're always self-destructive because they defeat themselves without ever starting. It's kind of that grasshopper complex. When Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan, the promised land, they came back, and at first they all said, whoa, this is a land that flows with milk and honey. And here, look at an example, a sample of the produce of that land. And it was a cluster of grapes that was so enormous that it took two men to carry it on a pole. But then when Moses, when Joshua and Caleb and the people were considering, okay, do we go in and take the land? Do we go in because God has said he's given us this land? Then 10 of the spies turned negative. And they said, we can't do that. That's a hard land. Now they completely changed song, so to speak. And it devours its people. There's giants there. The cities are walled. And those giants, you know, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And, you know, when somebody says, well, they think I'm a grasshopper. They think I'm nothing. Well, that's that other person's problem. But then those 10 spies said, and we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. Now they were self-defeated. You see, somebody can call us names. Somebody can think whatever they want to about us. But that doesn't mean we have to accept their view or their judgment or assessment. But when we start thinking like that ourselves, we're beaten before we ever started. Negative attitudes. Whereas, look at David. He goes against Goliath. And David is not even trained for battle. Goliath is a seasoned warrior. He stood 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had an armor barrier that moved, an armor bearer that moved before him and helped him in his battles. He had the tools, the implements of warfare. David had a sling with a few stones. But David went forward in battle against the giant, confident that God could give him the victory. And God did. Attitude. Now you could say faith. Well, again, faith shaped his attitude. Attitude reflects our mindset. David had a mindset of faith in God as Almighty and the Deliverer. Others have the idea that they can't do anything hardly because they don't have the ability. They haven't been given the opportunities. They've been beaten down, whereas most of the time they've just made bad choices themselves. Attitude. Well, God sent Christ to this earth to establish a perfect church for an imperfect people. So in our last study, we noted that God is a perfect God. Psalm 18 and verse 30. He is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. The living beings around the throne of God in the throne room of heaven praise him, holy, 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 they call him. His will, his law for our lives is perfect. His judgments are righteous and perfectly so. He sent his Son as the perfect Savior for all mankind. Referred to in Luke chapter 4 and verse 34, even by a demon whom Jesus cast out of a man. Referring to Jesus as the Holy One of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 21, Peter wrote, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now here's Peter talking about Christ's suffering. We read in the last program in the introductory material to this study, in the Hebrews letter, twice, in chapter 2 and again in chapter 5, it talked about Jesus being made perfect through his suffering as a human being in human form here on this earth. And here Peter is saying, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor is deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's a perfect a portrait, an image of the perfect Savior. Jesus was sent by God, the perfect God, perfectly holy in all of his judgments, as the perfect Savior. And he came and fulfilled that role perfectly. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 5 and verse 8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came as that perfect Savior, and he served as the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for the guilt of our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 11, here the Hebrews writer says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, but not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now God tolerated, he allowed, in fact he instructed, the sacrifice of animals in Old Testament times, but they were not really sufficient to forgive mankind of sins. But God recognized the forgiveness, in essence, because he looked forward to the time when he would send that perfect Savior into the world to serve as the perfect sacrifice on the cross. And in offering his Son on that cross, it would be a one-time-for-all-time perfect sacrifice to suffice for the guilt of all man's sin for all time. The perfect sacrifice in the person of the perfect Savior. Now that's, again, we're looking at God, perfect, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, his law, his will for our lives, perfect, sending his perfect Son to be the perfect Savior and the perfect one-time-for-all-time sacrifice to pay the price for the guilt of our sins. God did that for us. His plan for us to be forgiven, to be redeemed, was and is perfect. Now, the problem comes in our response to his offer of that plan. That's where our attitude comes in. What do we think about that? In James chapter 1 and verse 25, we read about the gospel being referred to in its perfection. Notice, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, that perfect law of liberty is simply very descriptive kind of reference to the gospel of Christ. Christ brought the perfect gospel message whereby we can be forgiven and redeemed and saved and given eternal life. The idea of liberty is freedom. And so it's to be set free. In this case, God sent his perfect Son as the perfect Savior to be offered as a perfect sacrifice, and he brought the perfect message of salvation, the gospel, the perfect law of liberty, as James describes it there in James 1 and verse 25, so that we could be set free from the guilt and condemnation of our own sins. Now, central in all of this perfect plan is the church. Now, a lot of people, they want to minimize the importance of the church. They believe in God, they believe in Christ, but they don't really see the church as being that important or significant. They think they can have God, they think they can have forgiveness, salvation through the Savior, without really having anything, or at least not much to do, with the church that Jesus came to establish. Now think about that, the inconsistency of it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, speaking to Peter about his faith in Christ as the Son of God, Jesus said, upon this rock, not upon Peter, but upon the rock of that faith, I will build my church. And he says, and the gates of Hades, or the power of death, in other words, his death on the cross, will not prevent it or keep it from being established. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus, the perfect Savior, came to establish the perfect church that would communicate and teach the perfect gospel message. In John chapter 17, beginning with verse 20, we find Jesus on the night of his betrayal. And he says, he's praying to God. And he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now Christ established the perfect church, and in him we have the opportunity to be made perfect. In him, not in and of ourselves, and not on our own, and not by our own power or authority, but in him, we have the opportunity to be made perfect, to be forgiven, to be cleansed. What a blessing. What a prospect. What encouragement. The perfect God sent the perfect Savior to establish the perfect church with the perfect gospel message, so that an imperfect people could be made perfect, forgiven, redeemed in Christ. Well, again, we're just really getting started well in this study. Be sure to keep listening. In just a moment, we'll tell you how to contact us. Write down that information, and then get with us and ask for the free Bible study, and also ask for today's program on CD. Both are free, and we'll take care of the postage. Hope to hear from you right away.